everyone. Welcome to Terror Talk.
500.
This is our 500th episode.
No big deal.
Well, this is a shrink chat show, and we will give you lots of value. We are going to do new movie reviews and articles and...
No big deal.
All the things. But we are also going to, because it's our 500th, we've just found a couple of clips from some old stuff to laugh about. Because 500 episodes is a thing. Like, we just decided to mark it because that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And I can definitely testify it's a lot because when I, my records of all of our episodes and when I was going back to try to find a couple things, it was like, there's a lot of shit here. There's so much stuff. And for some of you, if you are following along super closely, which I wouldn't expect that you would be doing, is that you may have noticed I've started to upload our episodes onto our YouTube channel. Terror Talk has a YouTube channel that we haven't really used that much. We did some clips and some funny stuff last Halloween season. We're going to do more this Halloween season. But what I'm really focusing on is getting season 6, which is what we're in right now. Our seasons last a year and they begin and end in September 1st. And so I'm getting season 6 up pretty regularly. I've been putting up an episode a day pretty much. Like over the each weekend I make them all and then I'm getting them up so that one day all 500 episodes or some version of them, I'm sure there's a few lost in translation from back in the day. Probably not going to be exactly 500 because I imagine some of the audio is lost. It's just lost to the Black Sea. But I'm going to do my best to get every episode we care about up on the YouTube channel. So that's been my way of celebrating the 500. But it's just such a massive accomplishment for something that we've
been pretty consistent.
I've been trying. I figured out a way. I came up with a strategy. I've been trying for like 6 months to figure out like, how can I make this have a flow for me personally?
Yeah.
Where I can knock them out. And with technology, it takes a little while to figure out a flow and a way to do something. Kind of just like in the very beginning when we started with episode one and we used my phone.
At your kitchen table.
At my kitchen table. And you can hear Kathy knocking her pen against the table. And you can hear me.
Bell's collar.
We could hear the dog's noise and all of that. And I think you had something actually that made you think of our episode one.
Well, yeah, because we talked about the very first horror movies that we were exposed to.
Oh, right.
And that scared us, right?
Yeah,
and the memories that we have of like the fear, but how that fear was also mixed with like, intense euphoria.
Yeah, we called it our introduction to horror. And actually, as an aside, I will be enjoying re-editing those episodes and putting them up because even who cares what people think? It's like it's our beginnings, and it's really nice to just have. It's fun to look back at those.
It is
old
fun
things, you know.
And we did episode you had talked about Alien, and I talked about a movie called Happy Birthday to Me. I was all of like maybe 4 or something when I had seen it. So when I came across this episode, and if you've been listening to us for a period of time now, it'll pop up every now and then as a joke that Shannon and I share that I was like in my mother's womb the first time I saw a horror movie and that's what fucked me up.
Yeah,
right?
The first couple of years it was a real running joke.
It was a running joke for a while.
Every time we talked about horror, it was like, Kathy, did you see that when you were 2.5?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
You're like, you were exposed to The Exorcist at 2? No, at 4. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, you were practically an adult.
I ran across an article. I felt very validated, like it was seeing me, and it's called Don't Be Scared to Spook Your Precious Young Children with Horror Films. And it was a story by Omar Galaga. I'm just going to give you a few lines from this article that made me think about some of the truth to this, but also how much it has applied to my memories of horror. And Shannon, you might share some of this too. So they say, I can't remember how old I was, maybe 9 or 10. I was even younger than that. When my mom showed me and a group of friends one of the early Halloween movies on a VCR, she had it recorded. That seems crazy now. These days, it's national news when kids are traumatized by a cheesy horror movie. But at the time, nothing could be safer. What's less scary than a scary movie approved by your mother for viewing?
Yeah.
They go on to say, I've learned since then from talking to friends and fellow parents that introducing kids to horror movies is often a rite of passage, especially among Black and brown families. Maybe it's kind of compartmentalization. The terror of Michael Myers or a claw hand wielding Freddy Krueger can't compare to the cumulative trauma of daily life in America. And they go on to talk about a lot of the films that they were introduced to when they were younger. And then they say, you know, there's something really powerful about sharing a scary experience with someone. It's why we ride roller coasters together. It's why natural disasters bring communities together. It's why we tell ghost stories around campfires. At the sleepover, the girls watched in my living room, and about halfway through the movie, I poked my head into the room and asked, are you all scared yet? They said the movie was creepy, but not very scary. They hadn't gotten to the scene, the shocking one in the middle of the film that pulls all the dark stuff in motion. I waited. I said, toward the end of the movie, when I came back to see their reactions, the vibe of the room had changed completely. They jumped at a scare near the end, and I had to smile. This was the same movie my brother came over to watch with me so he could watch my reactions to what he believes to be one of the horror's greatest movies. Lastly, he says, it doesn't seem very parental, and I'm sure some will judge, but there's something really powerful about sharing a scary experience with someone. And that goes into that quote that I read. And, you know, it talks about how anxiety and fear give us a controlled way to examine them and experience catharsis, especially collectively. And they can be, ironically, stress relievers. He goes more into like his story of being a kid, and it's just a really sweet article that reminded me a lot of like how I felt and my older brothers watching me when I was watching horror. And during the 70s and 80s, it kind of was this rite of passage where now you don't see that as much. So it just was very relatable.
I see that on so many levels too, because there was also like this, it's a bonding experience. It is. What that person's really describing, you know?
Yeah.
Bonding, lineage, you know, sharing something that you love with someone you love. Like, that's really important. All it those is. Things just happen to be, you know, stabby or possessiony or whatever.
Yeah, you
just,
know, a little devil, a little blood.
Whatever.
Boob foo.
How is that different? What you might say? It's not.
The news is worse.
That's for sure. I don't watch the news, but I do watch horror movies.
There you go.
There it is. Because I prefer to play with those things in my imagination as opposed to get myself into a tizzy about how life is ending as we know it.
Yeah.
And all that drama. I just don't get into that drama. I wanted to really quickly, before we do Terror Talk, facts with Kath, so you have that to look forward to. Kathy has created horror facts with Kath that are actually Terror Talk facts with Kath from our show. And I can't wait to hear what you have.
I never disappoint.
Created. But first, the precursor is I've come up with a little, I don't know if you'd call it a game, but a little thing where I'm going to say a few quotes from our history, like things that either you have said or things that I have said. And I think it would be fun if you sort of guessed.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. It's kind of like your own version of Shannon Facts with Kath.
It's a little game.
I just said
kind.
Shannon Facts with Kath. That made no sense.
I mean, you've called it a few different things. I will tell you as an aside, when I was looking back at older episodes, the Shrink Chat shows in the very beginning, Kathy used to do for a long time, like a good year or so, she did her facts or her trivia thing. She would ask a question and then she would post it on our Instagram, and then you guys would answer it if you knew it, and then we would like pick a winner or whatever from that.
We
would talk about it on the show. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
I had like placed it out of my mind.
Yeah.
And then I was listening to old Shrink Chat shows and I'm like, oh yeah,
I haven't thought about it till now.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's been a while. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's the first one. You're so fucking welcome.
God, that's you.
It's actually you.
Is it? That's funny.
Because I'll say thank you for...
You're so fucking welcome. Okay.
Like, I'll say thank you for the facts or whatever.
I do remember that now. Okay.
But this is probably what this is going to be a little bit of, is like, we're similar.
Yeah.
And then in other ways, we're not. All right, here's the next one. I fucking hated this little girl with everything in me.
That was me.
Yeah. Do you remember what you were talking about?
Yes, it was during the Omen franchise, right?
Yeah.
God, I hated that kid.
Okay. So this is an interchange between the two of us. And the first person says, blondes are evil. And the second person says, you're evil.
Oh, God, that could be either one
of
us.
That's tough, right? It's me saying blondes are evil and then you saying you're evil. I think you felt offended.
Yeah. That's true. And I don't think I'd get in trouble if I got home if I had said blondes are evil on the...
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought might tip you to it.
But again, I don't remember when I said it. So anyway, you said it. That makes sense.
Yeah. And of course, giallo, giallo, giallo.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, that's you in all different kinds of ways.
Giallo.
Quote, you like getting peed on. You like peeing on other people. You like pee.
That's you.
No, it's you.
Oh, my God.
We've become one.
Oh, God. I just say shit. I don't remember.
I know. Me neither. I mean, I edit the stuff, so I remember it
you
a
remember
little
longer. It. Yeah.
But not ultimately. Like, a lot of the things, I'm like, what?
That's funny.
There's a lot of yours. So I have to, like, sift through to find one of mine, but I can't. Okay, so here's one that I'm just going to tip our hand because I think it's funny. This is you, but this is, quote, listen, it's hard to make this shit light because I was giving you shit about, you know, some true crime topic that was too dark.
It is hard to make those
and
light.
And I was trying to lighten things up and you're like, listen. You'll hear Kathy says that a lot to me. Listen.
Listen.
Listen. Yeah. Anyway, I thought we could...
That's funny.
Start with a little quote. I think it's funny that you thought all the ones that were you were me.
That is funny.
But that's the way it goes around here. It's like, it's really hard to remember who's you, you know.
You're so fucking welcome.
What the fuck's going on? All right, let's do a little.
Terabats with Kath and Shannon now.
Oh, that's what I should do. A whole episode of you singing the.
Oh, God.
If anyone would listen.
Guys, it's going to be on our Patreon page. Watch all of the new members we get just to hear me. Which giallo movie introduced Kathy into the genre and led to the ongoing obnoxious war cry, giallo, on many shows?
And there it is. I even mentioned it in my game.
I know.
There
so I was go. Laughing.
Yeah. Okay.
Number two. Which horror movie did Shannon and Kathy get the most mad at in 2023? So much that we spent a decent amount yelling about these damn children.
Yep.
Number three. What maze was the first Halloween Horror Night maze where Shannon had to stop Kathy from kicking the cast members?
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't narrow it down. But
right, no.
I won't get that one.
Number four, our episode on Amanda Knox received a lot of attention from what country was our pal who had a lot of feelings about our episode?
Oh, okay. Wow, what country, huh?
Mm-hmm. And number five, what was the first film we did a complete psychological analysis on?
All right. At the end of the show, I'll try to come up with a few answers. I mean, I have guesses, obviously. More guesses than I normally do.
That's all I'm asking you to do.
But we'll see what happens. There's a couple of those I'm not really sure. So that's cool. I like that, actually. Because I don't remember all... Just like you don't remember all... Yep. I mean, I don't remember everything I ever said. It's like when Howard Stern talks about, like, oh, yeah, I'm getting flame broiled in the, you know, in the media for saying blah, blah, blah. It's like he'll always say, like, listen, I do a 4-hour off the cuff show.
You're going to find some shit
every day.
Yeah.
Do you really expect that I'm going to control my mouth every minute? Like, I'm going to say shit wrong. And I just.
And you kind of know what you're getting into if you listen to Howard Stern.
Exactly.
Like, if you're going to be offended, don't listen.
Don't do that. Yeah. Just go somewhere
else.
He's
cleaned it up.
Oh, for sure. And also, we're not Howard Stern. Our show is recorded and much shorter. And we're, you know, he's a master.
He is.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, we're going to say stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like, you like pee, which is...
Apparently. I don't even know the context of
you
that.
You like getting pissed on. You, you like pee. It was like a conclusionary statement. Like, I mean, you like pee.
You like pee. Jesus.
Like, yeah. We're going to briefly talk about, we're both going to Monsterpalooza.
Yeah, we are.
Together, actually, this coming weekend. By the time you hear this, we will have already been. So, but we'll talk about that in the future. But we're going to go to Monsterpalooza. And for those of you who don't know, that is a horror convention that specifically celebrates monsters and everything to do with that. So they have a lot of actors there like Tony Todd and Kane Hodder. Yeah, and they also have the main characters and stuff too. Like Kathy and I got our picture taken with the original Scream cast. We're going to get our picture taken with the guy from Terrifier this weekend. Yeah,
David Howard Thornton.
Yeah, but a lot of the convention area is monster making. So there's lots of like monster makeup going on. There's lots of, I remember last year there were these really cool gigantic alien sculptures and different things. And so we just really enjoy it. It's Friday through Sunday. There's lots of panels. Our friend Juliet is going to be there. She has her own panel. She was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Juliet Landau, we interviewed her and her husband, Deverell, who is actually going to be the one moderating the conversation with her. So she's going to do something. And several of our upcoming episodes, we're going to talk about The Blob again. They've got a panel on that. We're going to talk about Hellraiser. They've got a panel on that. You know, we're going to talk about the Hatchet series. They've got a panel on that because Kane Hodder is going to be there. So a lot of the things that are coming up for us, actually, I did not orchestrate it this way.
You know, what's crazy is that this particular year has a lot of 90s horror.
Yeah.
So which is cool. Christina Lise, Devin Sawa, Ashley Lawrence from Hellraiser, like they're going, I mean, that's more 80s, but they're bringing in a lot of the 90s horror to this one, which I think is cool. Obviously, you know, our buddies, Matthew and Skeet are always there. They'll be there. Yeah. Melissa Barrera, I'm excited about. That's cool. But, you know, they're bringing in more 90s this year, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, there's the convention floor. And on the convention floor, around the outskirts, you know, besides a bazillion vendors, Kathy and I always buy some shit and spend too much money. Kathy's really good. She, like, brings a budget.
Yeah, I break it, but I do bring it. I try to stay in it.
She tries to stay in it, like, a certain amount of money that she's going to spend, which I think is a great idea. I might do that as well this year and then break it. Okay. but it gives you a ballpark, right? It lets you know when you're out of bounds.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of cool shit to buy.
Well, I like to support a lot of these individual vendors who like make, I have a beautiful art. Piece of art.
That guy's always there too.
Oh man, I have a beautiful piece of art. One of the old LA theaters that, and then he hand painted it and The Shining is up on the sign. Like you can find some really good stuff there.
Great stuff. Great stuff. We bought a gremlin for,
yes.
The guy who does our music. One year we bought him his favorite like gremlin from Gremlins.
Yeah. It was like a life-size.
Life-size, you know, really awesome thing. We got him that as a thank you for all the work he does for the show, all the music and the tags and all that. That's all from him. Let's see. I buy things for the patrons there. On our Discord, we do challenges. We're about to do our Shark Week challenge, and then we do a month-long October massive movie challenge. And then whoever completes the challenges, I send like gift boxes to. So a lot of times at this and Midsummer Scream and other events that we go to, like I pick up things for those boxes. We also have on our Patreon, if you're a $25 a month person, giver, patron, once a year you get a box with a bunch of cool shit in it for me as a thank you for being a higher level patron. And so I buy stuff at those events for those boxes too. So it's just a really cool, we have a lot of fun, and all of this is justification for me spending more money.
That's right.
At Monsterpalooza.
You see how she had to walk it through.
Yeah. I needed to let you all know that it's not just for me.
Right.
Sure, Shannon, sure.
No, it's fun. And what's great about Monsterpalooza, if you're not from the West Coast, is that it really is focused on practical effects versus some of these other ones that we go to that are just horror in general.
Yes.
Which are fun too. We do one called Midsummer Night Scream. And then, you know, they're all over the country. But this one, I think because we're LA based, we get a lot of these practical effects folks, and Tom Savini is always there. And so it's really cool because you'll be walking through and someone's sitting there getting all these prosthetics put on, or they're getting some sort of animatronic put on, or it's really, really, really cool. Yeah.
Very cool. And I guess if we're talking about events, you know, Kathy and I and friends go to Halloween Horror Nights. So we'll probably do that this year.
Yep.
And other events, you know, there's often something different every year to go to. There's so many events in LA, of course, that you can choose to go to. So we're cruising into the season. Pretty excited. Monsterpalooza kind of kicks it off for us. And May. We're excited.
Yeah.
It's exciting. So now I would like to move into, on that note, since the Terrifier guy is going to be there, and since Kathy recently got a gift of this really cool Terrifier 3 poster, Art the Clown, and because it's one of your favorite little niche franchises these days, I wanted to play, Kathy doesn't know about this, but I wanted to play you a clip of when we watched All Hallows Eve as a buddy watch long ago in an episode, and you had actually not seen Terrifier yet. So this is a little clip of that. Art the Clown, who's the bad guy. Art the Clown was eventually memorialized and became the bad guy in the Terrifier movies. But this was first.
For being an independent film, right? It started off as an independent film.
Sure,
I thought it was pretty well done. I think it was pretty flippin' scary, and parts of it were incredibly disturbing. I mean, the visuals were not great because they didn't have a lot of the budget yet. And I think with what they had, they did a good job. However, at the end, one of the last scenes where the one girl is left like without limbs, and she's, that was actually a really disturbing scene where she wakes up and her face looks like she's okay. Like she's just kind of blinking, but then the camera pulls back and what you see, that was, that like was a little traumatizing. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would say that the third segment was the scary segment.
Yeah.
But the other two segments weren't that scary to me, but
he's a great villain.
Well, and I also think that the best things about this was Art the Clown.
Yeah.
Like there was lots of slow bits. There was lots of bits I didn't think really
he's
worked.
He's terrifying.
Yeah. And so I can understand why they took him out and actually made a pretty good horror film in Terrifier. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a pretty good horror film. It's simple and straightforward and Art the Clown, and he's terrifying in it. And then they made a couple of sequels, I think. So I can see why they took him out of this and made a movie with a little bit of a budget. I love listening to that because you hadn't even seen Terrifier before.
I hadn't. I can say though that I'm still very much a fan of Art the Clown. He is a true artiste and I appreciate his insanity. And I've noticed over the, you know, every film he puts more and more into this character. And I know that David Howard Thornton also did practice miming and all that. So like I think it's one of the reasons he was cast. The way that he becomes more and more sophisticated in that role. And All Hallows Eve, I will say though, is you were not wrong. It was going to end up becoming a favorite as far as series goes once I started seeing Terrifier. But that last scene in All Hallows Eve, still incredibly disturbing.
It holds up, man. There's something about indies that hold up like that. Yeah, I think it's because of raw. The grit, right?
It's raw.
It's really raw. And I do feel like I haven't seen two. Yeah,
she's good.
I hear that. Yeah. It's on the list. Kathy doesn't necessarily know this, but we're going to do a Terrifier episode in the fall because the 3 is going to come out. And
yeah,
you're going to be right on that. Plus, we're going to Monsterpalooza and we're going to meet the guy and, well, you know, stand next to him anyway and take a photo.
Yeah.
I can say about one is that I do feel like at least in one, and you can tell me if it's in the other, is they really, they had more money, but the grit is still there.
Oh, no, it is. It's definitely there. It's just now, I mean, I think the grit is partially because the film quality is less, and sometimes that actually makes it scarier because it makes it look older. But I also think that in the indie, the storyline is not as heavy and the characters aren't as developed. It's just gross. It's just, I mean, it's really all about this unabandoned, you know, like, or wild abandonment. It's just like the terror is just, there are no boundaries around it. Where once you get into like Terrifier 1 and then 2. And now if you haven't seen 2, you're going to want to see it because there's character overlap and story overlap from 2 to 3. They're now actually building a storyline where All Hallows Eve was just really about watching people suffer.
Yeah, it's an indie anthology.
Exactly.
They weren't thinking, you know, ahead.
No.
So, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great. I just thought that was fun. We're going to do a couple more clips later that are sort of more silly, that are about this one time when Kathy canceled her newspaper. Trust me, there's
don't
a story there.
Get this done.
So there's a couple clips from a really early episode from that later, just for fun. But first, we are going to start talking movies like a regular old Shrink Chat show. And we wanted to start with Abigail 2024. So this is definitely a movie in the creepy kid category. Mm-hmm. A mystery, like a clue, like Isolation, 13 ghosts, people trapped in a building type of thing. I want to tell you right now, if you have not seen Abigail 2024, we are going to not talk spoilers for the whole plot or anything, but we're going to start. In order to even tell you the synopsis or even tell you a little bit about the film and why we love it, there are some little twists early on in the movie that are actually twists that, like, it ruins that twist. It doesn't ruin the whole movie. So
yeah.
I think our recommendation right out of the gate is I rated it 4 stars. Kathy loved it. She purchased it. It's probably going to be one of my favorite films of the year.
Oh, same.
It's got a lot going for it. It's got the gore. It's got the character development. It's got the humor. There's actually some frightening scenes where you're like, oh, what the fuck? Where is it? You know, what's going to happen? So it's a high recommend. But if you haven't seen it, I mean, pause us and go watch it, for Christ's sake. What are you waiting for?
It's really fun.
Or skip over this part because I don't want to spoil it for you. So on that note, we'll give you a moment. No, okay. This is a vampire movie.
Yeah. Well,
she's
amazing. It's a play off of the Dracula's daughter, right? Yeah. It was named Abigail. That's where that comes from, is that origin, which actually, if you go back and listen to the queer horror episode that I did this past year,
please.
This is the Dracula's daughter was supposed to be one of the first queer horror films, especially with a woman.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So her name was Abigail, and that's what this is based on. But it is not, has nothing to do with Dracula's daughter.
It's
but that's where
homage.
The name comes from. Yeah.
Yeah, the name's an homage. So this is basically a group of criminals kidnapped this 12-year-old ballerina, and she happens to be the daughter of a powerful underworld figure. And the idea is that they're told by the Igor of the manor, who gives them all their instructions, is like, if you kidnap this girl and you keep her in this house that's not their house, he just provides a house for them to keep her in, and it's this old spooky mansion, which of course is delightful. And if you keep her overnight and everything goes fine, in the morning, you know, you each get $5 million or whatever, and you go about your merry way. Easiest money you'll ever make, right? So there's this isolated mansion. They're in there. As you might imagine, they start to, you know, shit starts to die, and they are locked inside with the monster.
This little, I mean, she's not a little kid anymore. She's a teenager, but her performance is great. And I've said this on other episodes before, where I'm not always a huge fan of like kids in movies or horror.
I think that's really common.
Yeah, I guess so. I always feel like shitty saying it because I guess I get annoyed when they make the child overly precocious.
Mm-hmm.
So like the old Dakota Fanning movies.
That is super typical. I hear lots
of
people
annoys
say that.
It annoys the hell
even
out of me.
Even outside of horror. Like people kids.
Yeah, you know? I think I Am Sam was the only one I watched when she was young that I was like, oh, she's so sweet in this. And then she did like movie after movie after movie where she's playing this precocious. This movie, there's a preciousness about her because she's really like 112 years old or something. You know, but she's also a kid in her behavior and her reaction to things, which we know narcissists already are emotionally stunted. Mm-hmm. So all of it like really works. It's not like, oh, you're annoying. She's actually pretty fierce.
Yeah, she's really great. This young actress's name is Alicia Weir, and she's from Ireland. And we figured out that she's probably like 13 or something when they were shooting this
movie.
Yeah,
something like that.
I think she's 15 now.
She looks a lot younger.
Yeah. Wow, 15 or 16 now. So she would have been, you know, a couple of years ago. Wow, she's so young. She looks even younger.
She looks young.
But she also, you know, ballerinas.
Yeah, they put her in a tutu. Yeah.
Ballerinas have sort of a stunted growth thing happening anyway. Great gore. Funny. The cast of characters is delightful. You know, they all have their little tropey personalities that you would find. There's a FMC, a female main character that's badass. Thoroughly enjoyable. I think a really great addition to the vampire landscape.
Yeah, I think so too. And it does leave this little bit for a sequel. However, I did read and the director said, this is like such a perfect film that I think we're just going to leave it because it, and also this character would not be able to age. And she's going to age.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, and leave it alone, man.
Leave it alone.
It's just a great flick.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
It's fine.
We can do standalone.
So I'm glad he decided.
Yeah, make something else great.
That's right. So I saw in the theaters this weekend, I saw Furiosa.
Oh.
The Mad Max saga, which is the origin story of Furiosa, the role that Charlize Theron played in Fury Road. And it stars Anya Taylor-Joy, who's great in it. And Chris Hemsworth is fucking hysterical.
He is fucking hysterical.
He is so great in this movie. This is another movie that if you can just go for the ride and appreciate there's one scene, there's an action scene. It's a big rig scene. It goes on for about 25 minutes. The movie's about 2 hours and 15
That's
minutes.
That's very Mad Max.
I'll tell you what, though. It took 6 months to shoot this scene. It is phenomenal. Uh-huh. It is one of the best. I don't care what you think about the storyline. I don't care. I'm disinterested in everybody being the worst critic on these. It's not as good as Listen, it's a whole new movie. It's an origin story. Just go with it. And it's done really well. But this third 25 minute scene is so badass. And then Anya Taylor-Joy is so great in it. And she actually has this, article where she goes in to talk about how she has been an advocate for women showing more emotions than crying.
Oh, okay.
She's just like, she asked the director various times, like, can I show anger and rage instead? Because that would be what Furiosa would actually show in the scene. So
literally
she
named Furiosa Fury.
Yeah. So she goes, it says the actress has earned a reputation for promoting feminine rage to showcase women as people with raw and messy reactions. Mm-hmm. And she also performed many of her own stunts. And if you watch this movie, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, she learned to ride a motorcycle. She learned to do some of these other things. As an action movie on the big screen, we saw it in the theater. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun.
So the 2.5 hours, it was
It's
okay.
like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
It says 2:28 on the internet, but I don't know.
To me, you know, I was in it.
Great.
I was in it, and
That's
I thought
great,
it was
sometimes
so
that
much
matters,
fun.
Right?
Some people might think, you know, there might be a little bit in there that they could have shaved off, but her character is so rich, and it's a huge origin story.
Awesome. So it would
I'm not mad at it.
Would it benefit people to like hang out and watch some of the Mad Max things?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Not even the Charlize Theron?
No, in fact, okay. You could watch Fury Road after because this is the origin story.
It's the precursor.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter. I don't even really remember Fury. I think I've only seen parts of Fury Road. And I saw this without a problem.
Great. So I saw this movie called Lowlifes. It's a 2024 movie. It's a pretty solid movie. Like I gave it a 3 out of 5 stars and I think it's worth a watch. It's pretty solid. So it's the survival instincts of a road tripping family are put to the test when they have no other choice but to stay the night at a remote homestead. So you get the vibes of that.
Yeah.
I believe you can see it on Tubi. I feel like that's maybe where I watched it. So what I want to say about this movie and the reason why I recommend it is that you're going to push play on it and the first, you know, whatever it is, 20 minutes or half an hour, which is what I did, is you're going to go like, oh, God, it's one of those ones where the family gets stranded on the side of the road and the lowlifes come along, you know, the backwater hicks from wherever they're living. And now they're going to, you know, take the family and rape the daughter and kill the dad and da-da-da. Like, you're like, oh, for the love of fucking God.
It's here we go again.
Another TCM imitation, you know, Gary... intellectually challenged people that live under the house or whatever. But I want to tell you, I don't want to spoil it, but yes, that is the setup, but it goes in a completely, it goes a different way, not a completely different way, but a different way. And it's funny and there is gore. It's definitely a horror movie. It doesn't go in the ways you'd necessarily expect it from the beginning. And it's got humor, but it's also got horror. And I found it, it's a good watch.
Good.
It's a good watch.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds fun.
And it's on Tubi. Like, so
Tubi has some good stuff.
Easy to check out. Yeah, they've really come a long way. It's a Tubi original, actually. And I really enjoyed it. I give it a thumbs up. I mean, a 3-star, because, you know, it's not like Abigail, but it's solid.
So I grew up in the Detroit area. My dad had a partnership with Kellogg's. Mm. So I watched Unfrosted, which is the movie.
I started it, but I didn't finish.
Takes place in Battle Creek, Michigan, which is where the Kellogg's headquarters was. And we'd always get, you know, I had Tony the Tiger watch growing up and the whole thing. So this was really fun. In 1963, Michigan business rivals Kellogg's and Post compete to create a cake that could change breakfast forever. So it's the origin of the Pop-Tart. Okay.
I saw the
But it is a complete just mockumentary on this whole thing. I mean, the facts are give or take a few of the actual origins of the Pop-Tart as far as the characters go. And they, you know, they created something like the Golden Spoon Awards that Kellogg just sweeps. It's like their Oscars. So it's Jerry Seinfeld. And then you've got all these great players, including Hugh Grant, who plays Tony the Tiger. Melissa McCarthy's fucking hilarious. Isaac Bey, Chris Rickett. The only two I'm not big fans of are, I really cannot stand Max Greenfield.
Oh,
he just bugs the shit out of me. And I really am not a huge fan of Amy Schumer, but they play the two most annoying, unlikable characters in the film.
I saw the clip of Amy Schumer. I was like, oh, that's on brand.
Yeah, she plays Marjorie Post, right? Yeah. So this movie, I have been missing this kind of comedy. It was like Jerry Seinfeld. He took the humor that we used to love as a nation and he made a very nostalgic film with really, really, really funny people. And if you can just allow yourself to immerse yourself in it, it was such a palate cleanser.
Mm.
I think we finished Griselda and then put it on. we were dying. Like there were, I was laughing out loud at parts of this. Hugh Grant as Tony the Tiger is hilarious.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend this. It's a Netflix.
I started it and then I got distracted and I was like, I'm going to have to watch this some other time. Cause I actually wanted to pay attention. Yeah. So
it's so good. It's one that I'll be able to watch over and over, you know, like Wine Country and some of those that you can just put on. This is that.
Great.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I also wanted to just give two that you had seen.
Oh, okay.
That I finally got around to seeing. First was Late Night with the Devil.
Oh.
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was so much fun. I'm not going to go too much into it because you've already reviewed it, but I just thought it was everything that I was hoping it would be.
Okay, great. I liked it too.
And then the other one I finally got around to seeing was Exorcist Believer.
Oh.
And with all of the negative reviews, I was waiting for this to be the worst film of the year.
Oh, yeah, no.
But I have to say that as a standalone film, it was fine.
Yeah.
I really loved how they used Chris McNeil again. And that part was also always, you know, that was great, but I didn't hate the end. I didn't end up hating it too much. I was surprised. I thought it was going to suck.
Well, and that's expectations too. Going in with very low expectations is awesome.
It was okay. it was okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a few scenes that I still remember from it. And I enjoyed, you know, the exorcism scene that goes on for ever and ever and ever is interesting and all of that. Yeah. So good. Right on. I'm glad you felt like it was worth a watch because that's important.
Like it's time. I haven't seen it yet. And
In the comfort of your home.
Yeah.
I also took the time to watch a movie called Humane. Now, for me, this is a 2024 movie. It's It's Caitlin Cronenberg's first.
Okay. Oh, I wanted to see this.
This is one of those kind of dystopian type of things, only it's really just shot in one home. It's a in the future, the what if this happened kind of movie, but it's set in a one home with one family. And so in the wake of an environmental collapse that has forced humanity to shed 20% of its population, a family dinner, meaning, now consider those words very carefully, forced humanity to shed 20%. Like, basically, they're killing them off because there's an environmental challenge where we're not all going to survive. And so then it becomes, who can we get rid of so that others can survive type of situation. Mm. So a family dinner is kind of where we start, and it erupts in chaos when a father's plan to enlist in the government's new euthanasia program goes horribly awry. So the father, I won't give it away, but the father at this dinner basically announces his plan, which involves euthanasia, and he's got his whole family there. It's like a lot of these at the dinner table family dinners in horror movies, you know, that kind of like... It's kind of funny. The characters are kind of unlikable. They're all really entitled. It's that same vibe, right? But then the plan goes awry and things change and different things happen in the plot. And then you get to go everybody a little bit more. There's some gore and the people die off, etc. And then then it changes again. Then the plot twists again. And... we're kind of, and then it kind of just slows down and dies a slow, horrible death to me. But I did give it, I think it's worth a watch because it's Caitlin Cronenberg's first, because it's an interesting concept. If you like that kind of, what if this happened to us and how would we react as humans? Mm-hmm. And some of the performances are really fun. A lot of people liked it a lot more than me. And I don't know if that's a Cronenberg thing.
I don't know, because the reviews aren't great on it.
Okay, because when I look at my personal letterbox and I look at activity from friends, which those of you who have letterbox know that you can kind of see in a glance like what your friends rated it. And I follow several horror reviewers and all of this. And several of them liked it a lot more than me. And I'm wondering if that's concept-based. But this is a debut feature. And it's a very high concept. And it's a thriller. And it's like social commentary. And I think it's solid in that way. But you definitely have to want that. I'm not saying it doesn't have like great moments where the family's at each other's throats and, you know, shit happens and there's, you know, death, of course.
It gets 2.5 stars here on IMDb.
That's not an awful rating, of course.
No, no. Like, 2.5 is
pretty solid. And I rated it 2 stars. So okay. I guess that's what I thought of it.
All right.
I mean, I like to follow new directors.
I'll watch it eventually because I've been wanting to see it.
Yeah, it sounds like you really wanted to see it, and I think that's a great way to go. I mean, I think the premise is really interesting. The execution was all right.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, the premise sounds great.
Yep.
I am making my way through The Jaws Log, which is a book that was written by Carl Gottlieb, and they've re-released it. So winner of 3 Oscars and the highest grossing film of its time, Jaws was a phenomenon. And this is the only book on how 26-year-old Steven Spielberg transformed Peter Benchley's #1 best-selling novel into the classic film it became. So Gottlieb literally gives us a play-by-play for everything from Zanuck and Brown through picking Spielberg, through building Bruce the Shark, through casting, through how they did these deep underwater shots and second unit and the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's, if you're a Jaws lover or a Spielberg lover, it's a really great book. Cause I mean, we, you know, we read Jaws, Benchley's novel. We read it last year for our book club, and I love the movie and I love the book. And so a friend of mine was like, "Hey, have you read the Jaws Log? They just released an expanded edition." I'm like, "No, I haven't read the original." It is a really fun book. So if this is one of like your go-to movies and you're interested in sort of that behind the scenes and the development and all the stuff that nobody else would know if Carl didn't capture it. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. So we're going to start to wrap this up. We've got a couple more things to do, which is one, I want to play these clips for Kathy when she canceled the paper because it's amusing.
Oh, God.
For those of you who have been around for a
while. I was so pissed.
And if you haven't been around for a while, you will probably relate to her. So stick around.
I just want to say this before you play it.
Yes, ma'am.
Is I do get the paper again because people probably wonder, you know, on bated breath, they're waiting to know if I still do. I'm only about 7 minutes from where I lived before, and I get it at like 6:30 in the morning.
Okay, so let's give them some context. After we do these couple of clips and have this conversation about getting the paper, because, I mean, I imagine many of you are like, getting the paper? Who fucking gets the paper anymore? But we're going to have that conversation.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, we know. And then we'll do the answers to the horror facts. But there's two clips. We're going to play the first clip because this was a big deal. We did a two-part conversation over two shrink chats. Okay. So here's the first one.
Kathy's, what do we call it? The newspaper?
Kathy reads the paper.
Kathy reads. Okay, can I tell you this, though, before we get into this?
Please.
It's the second time in 3 weeks I've had to call LA Times up and yell at them.
Oh my God.
Because my Sunday paper should not be coming at 9 a.m.
Oh yeah. Too late for you.
Come on.
Six.
Told them as long as it's there by 8, that's how much I have now negotiated. I want it there by 7.
Of course you do.
Right? So I told them, two strikes, man. She's like, well, we'll fix this for you. I said, you haven't fixed it yet. And the only way you're going to fix it is if you light a torch
under
this guy's ass.
This person this is.
Because it's not LA Times. It's your delivery guy who keeps getting later each week.
Well,
and you know how I feel about my Sunday paper.
Here she goes.
And if I'm getting it at 9, my day's already begun and I have to have it with me. And then she has the balls to say to me, ma'am, you know that you get an electronic copy of that on. Now, you know me.
No, that was the wrong thing.
That was the wrong thing to say. And I lost it a little bit.
Oh,
and I was just
shit.
Like, I don't want to read my paper on a screen. It's why I order it.
It's why I spend more money. It's
right.
More expensive to order the actual paper because of the trees and such.
It was a stressful Sunday morning.
This sounds, what I'm thinking is that the delivery boy is having, or man.
The man.
Is having a Saturday night.
I'd given up.
That he can't quit.
Yeah, because I'd given up, took the dogs out in the backyard, and then I hear him pull up in his dumb truck, and I literally said out, oh, there's the paper. Thanks, asshole. It's like 9:30 on a Sunday. You know, if this was Black Friday, which I don't attend. I actually hate Black Friday, but I'm making a point.
Okay.
You would have missed all the sales because the paper, the sales were done by the time I got the paper.
Oh my God.
Okay. Was that out of two episodes?
That's first episode.
Oh my God. Oh, I was just a mad.
First conversation.
And I hear his dumb truck.
You're like, the dumb truck.
Thanks, asshole.
Thanks, asshole. I don't need it now. You're so mad. You're just so mad. I don't know. You're so
first world problems.
Oh my God. You're just like, it's 9 a.m. I don't want my paper.
You know, if this was Black Friday, we don't even get ads in the paper anymore.
So indignant.
God. That is so funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't at the time, though, I remember.
No, you were actually mad.
I chased his ass all the way down. I'm like, oh, I see where you're dropping him off. You're putting him at the Shell station first. That's not even that far from my house.
Oh.
Why do I get them 4 hours after the Shell station? You're right down the street.
Oh my God, you followed him and everything.
I had gone down to the Shell. It had already been delivered. And I know it's the same motherfucker because they're not going to send two different guys out to the Highlands.
Here she goes again.
Fuck.
All right, let's listen to the second clip and see if we get any better, if we have any thought process that's better. All right, here we go. So one of the really important things that has happened that I feel as if we definitely need to follow up on from last Friday is what happened with your paper.
Oh,
I totally conned you right there.
I thought you were going to bring up like the coronavirus. Oh, my God. Okay.
Last
Sunday, remember I said I'm going to give him a 4-minute window.
Mm-hmm. You said two, actually. I think.
Did I? I thought I said four, but whatever. At 8:07, I think I ended up calling LA Times.
Okay.
Because clearly, as we knew,
they were going to fail. I mean, you know.
So I called them up and they did the whole thing of, ma'am, we would really like to
help you.
Give us a moment to fix that. Right. She had said that to me a couple times. So before she even finished, and here's my disclaimer. I used to work in customer service, so it takes me a lot to get to this point because I understand the patience it takes and all that.
This has been happening for months.
Right. So she starts to say her script, which is, ma'am, we would love to, you know, I'm so sorry. We'd love to be able to. The second she goes into that, I literally go, no, 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 no. Okay. And she goes, and I go, done. I'm done. This is the third strike. Look in your notes from last week. I knew this was going to come up. I've given you guys, I go, it is 8:30. The paper is still not here. It's coming at not. And then she's like, ma'am, how many papers have you not gotten versus, I go, listen, I don't have a tally. What I can tell you is some weeks it doesn't come at all. The other weeks it comes at 9 o'clock in the morning when all of the sales are done or I'm already up during my day. And I asked about five people after this when they get their Sunday paper. I did it 6:45 to 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So I canceled it. I said, reimburse me. I am so done. I have been subscribing to you guys for so long. I go, the only way this is going to be fixed is if you fire this guy because this is not an LA Times problem. This is your delivery guy. So then I had to get a paper this morning. I had to get up and get it, which
so
I'm
are
like,
you going to the convenience mart that yeah, you talked about?
I'm just going down to CVS. But, yeah. So I live in a canyon and they were deciding to do construction this morning. So I got up, threw the dogs in the car. Not literally. I wasn't like abusing. I wasn't throwing them in the car. Put them in the car nicely.
Gingerly.
Although,
if you saw these dogs, yeah, it'd be funny.
Belle likes to sleep in. She's like a teenager, so she's looking at me shaking because it's cold, and she's like,
"She's like, this is not a good resolution.
Why are we in the car? Are you taking me to get groomed? Are you taking me to get my nails clipped?" She's looking at me, and then
she goes, "Oh, is this about the stupid paper?"
Yeah. And then Liam's just like all alert. He's like, "Where are we going?"
It's like fun.
So I get in the car, and the canyon is shut down and there's a detour. So I have to go around.
Awesome.
I get to the Gelson's, wait a couple minutes for it to open, and they haven't gotten their shipment yet.
Oh my God, it's the same delivery guy.
So then I go to the Shell station right next door and I say to the lady, hey, do you guys have the LA Times yet? And she goes, oh, we're still waiting on our delivery. And I literally go, God damn it, it's the same guy. So then I finally circled back around and went down to the CVS. And because they're 24 hours.
They had them.
They finally had it. Then I had to drive back, same detour, except I took the wrong turn. I ended up going up the canyon another way. It was a 30-minute deal.
You're cursing the LA Times the whole time.
But now I know my CVS will have it. The North Pole. So that's what it was. It was the CVS that had it. But I think it's so funny. It's just like the Gelson's, the Shell. I mean, I'm like, it's the same fucking guy.
Okay, we have to go back because in the beginning of this clip, you are so mad at the woman on the phone.
No.
Imagine this woman, since you used to work in customer service, you know.
Yes.
You're hearing this person on the phone just like become unhinged.
Well, and I'm just like, don't bullshit
paper.
A bullshitter. Don't keep telling me that it's going to come.
Yeah.
It's not coming.
It's not. The paper's not coming.
Oh my God.
It's not coming.
And then the detour.
And then you get in your car and it's like this whole thing about your dogs and all the trials and tribulations of I gotta get in the car with my dogs to get my paper,
and it's COVID and it's all this stuff, you know. It's like
there was a lot of stress happening that had nothing to do with the paper.
My God.
But again, like, yeah, I think that's an important context so people don't think you're an entitled prick. Is that we were in the middle of COVID and
everything felt extra stressful.
Everything felt stressful, but also like getting things at home was sort of a new reality where like going out of the house was
it took energy
exponential. We were all having a bit of a, but I don't want to take away from your absolutely unhinged.
Oh, I was unhinged. I was unhinged.
With the paper.
Oh, fucking don't fuck with my paper.
I noticed. And so you said at the beginning of us talking about this that you get the paper again.
I do.
You're okay.
It gets delivered right outside my garage door. All I have to do is open the garage like maybe a foot. My little hand reaches in there about 6:45 in the morning. I grab it, shut my garage door, and there it is.
Do you guys get the sense that if that was happening today with the 9 a.m. that she would still become unhinged? I do.
I would.
Yeah, I know. So we were trying to blame it on
listen,
COVID.
We have some creature comforts that we rely on, yeah. These simple things that we're like,
yeah.
I'm very regimented about. I only get it on Saturday and Sunday mornings. It's part of my wake up with my coffee. And
it's important.
And I was like, guys, it's getting later every week. And here's another thing to think about. It's like $70 every 6 weeks or something. You know, it's also just like I'm paying for this shit.
Yeah, it's expensive to get the paper now.
So
we'll see. We could still keep talking about it. It's still an important thing.
I'm done.
But it's instead of doing that, let's do a little
Tara Talk Facts.
All right. So we're gonna end this out with the answers to the Tara Talk Facts.
Which giallo movie introduced Kathy into the genre and led to the ongoing obnoxious war cry giallo on many shows?
Deep Red?
Yes, oh. Dario Argento. I'd watched the Joe Bob's version of it, and it was really great. Number two, which horror movie did Shannon and Kathy get the most mad at in 2023? So much that we spent a decent amount yelling about these damn children.
It was the albino twins.
Yeah, the fucking Tin and Tina.
Tin and Tina.
It's the worst
what
movie.
The fuck?
Shannon still gets mad.
And it's even like we call our worst movie series Titties and Tonic. It even has TNT. Tin and Tina.
Tin and Tina. I remember
it's like
when that,
the antithesis of Titties and Tonic.
Oh, God. When that movie popped up and you and I were like, I hate all of it.
Oh, vile.
God, I wanted those kids.
Mother of God.
Yeah. What maze was the first Halloween Horror Nights maze where Shannon had to stop Kathy from kicking the cast member?
I feel like that was the clown one.
It was actually American Horror Story Hotel. Oh. She came out of the wallpaper.
Oh my God. That was so scary. We walked into that room and I'm usually behind Kathy because she's smaller than me. And so she's in front of me and I can see over her. So it works out good. So I get the scares right when she does just because of our height difference. And so she was in front of me and you walk into this room and it's all white. Like all of the wall. This is how I remember it. Could be a total fiction. But it was like all white or all the same color. And it just looked like this big empty room with fabric on the walls, and there was no like bumps or anything like that. It just was blank. And sometimes when you walk into these mazes, some of the rooms nothing happens, so you're just thinking nothing is going to happen in this room, and all of a sudden this fucking body comes from this wall and goes towards Kathy because she's in front of me, and she literally was like, she kicked.
I'm like mid kick.
She like kicked out her leg, and I saw it happening. It was like slow motion. Like I grab her because she's small and I'm big, and so I was just like, I grab her and I pull her back, and her like roundabout swing like just misses the actor. I'm like, you're gonna get us fucking kicked out.
Yeah.
She got so scared she almost kicked the actor.
I did. I did. I almost did. It was the kick was starting.
That was amazing.
Oh, God. Okay. Our episode on Amanda Knox received a lot of attention. From what country was our pal who had a lot of feelings about this episode?
I don't remember.
He was from Ireland.
Oh.
Yeah. And he hated us Americans for what we said.
Well, the people that hate that episode, if you haven't listened to it, hate it because we explicate her psychology, and there is absolutely, when you listen to the episode, there is absolutely a, we don't think she did it, is basically what happened in that episode.
And a lack of motive.
And a lack of motive and a few other things. And it's an hour long episode. We talk about a lot of stuff, but that's the basic tenor of like anyone on social media that decided to say we were stupid and literally didn't really listen to the episode. They literally talked about how they were like, yeah, I was 5 minutes in and I quit listening because she said whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well.
Go back and listen. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, please join us. And
I think it was season two.
Yeah, right now I think it's the first episode on the channel.
Okay,
because I took
it's when our good sound came in. Yeah, and then number five is what was the first film we did a complete analysis on?
Was it Get Out?
It was Joker.
Joker.
Yeah, that was November 6, 2019. We went to see the movie together and then did a really pretty in-depth. We did do Get Out and all. We did. But this was...
You feel like this was the first in-depth
To this day, I'll still have people tell me it's their favorite episode we did.
It's in a popular one, too. If I look at the numbers, it's one of the popular ones.
Have you seen the sequel, the trailer for the sequel?
I have not. I am staying away from it.
Yeah, it's going to be good, I think.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and they waited a long time.
They did.
They made it a thing. Yeah. And so
I think Lady Gaga's a good choice.
We will be doing an episode on it.
Yeah.
Like there will be no, it was one of those movies where we were in the movie theater and it was the first movie we ever we were in there together. We looked at each other and we're like, oh, come on. We have to do a whole episode on this one. And we weren't doing whole episodes on one movie at the time. So that was a new thing for us and we made a meal out of it. So apparently it went well. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Kathy and I really enjoy this, doing this together, not only because it's really become a large foundation of our friendship. It's like we see each other so regularly now. We talk about all this stuff together and it's really become a linchpin of our friendship, but also because we enjoy interacting with you guys. We love interacting with our Discord and our patrons and all of the people that talk to us on social media. And we just love preparing this for the audience. I mean, I can say as the producer, I love getting in, putting ideas in the hopper and spinning them around and thinking about them and figuring out what would be best. And I'm really got you guys in mind when I'm doing that. And then Kathy comes with her ideas and we talk about them and we figure out the best way to present them. And literally, yes, of course, we're having fun and we're enjoying ourselves. And we hope that comes through. But it's really all for the audience, and we hope that you're enjoying it too, because 500 down, and I don't know how many to go, but we intend to keep going for as long as we can.
As long as you'll keep listening, and maybe even if you aren't, we're still going. And I just want to point out, because you're too humble to point this out yourself, but 500 episodes is about 1,000 episodes worth of all the producing, all the stuff that you do, all the editing. You know, Shannon, we record 4 episodes and 3 to 4 mini casts every other week in one sitting. And then Shannon literally puts this all together throughout the week and is really the backbone, being the producer. So it's a lot of work that goes into it. We're having fun if we continue it, because there's a lot of preparation work that you and I are doing throughout the week to make sure that we're really not just going on and saying facts that you can Google, but really looking in and delivering that. And then on top of that, you have all this other responsibility. So, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and I love it, and Kathy loves it. And if you are interested in being inspired, I can tell you that we're an indie operation. If you're into indie film, or you admire Kevin Smith, or anybody who does their own shit, Kevin Smith still, whatever you think of him as a filmmaker, he still edits his own films and all of that. Our pre-production is the two of us. Our production is the two of us. Our post-production is me. It's a lot of work and we love it and we're going to keep doing it. And if you want to support an indie operation, obviously, you know how to do that. Follow us on social medias, give us great ideas, become a patron. We love you guys. We'll keep doing it either way. You don't have to join any of those things. We'll still be here.
We'll still be here.
Assaulting your earbobs.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. This has been an episode of Terror Talk. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Kathy. Sleep safe, everyone.